Windows or doors sticking? Cracks in your drywall or brickwork? These can be signs of a structural foundation problem. PermaSeal can help with that. Free inspections, transferable warranties, financing, and peace of mind. PermaSeal, 800-421-7325 or permaseal.net.
What did you think about what some are calling the blue wave last night?
Yeah, it was definitely a blue wave. And if you look kind of more into the details in Virginia, at least in Virginia, they really had a clean sweep down there, which used to be kind of a purplish, not necessarily blue state, but it all went for the Democrats. And same kind of in New Jersey, the gains that Republicans and Trump administration made in the last election with blacks and Hispanics seemed to have evaporated and they went back to the Democrats. And then obviously in New York, the Mondami, you couldn't get any further left than that guy. And he won by, 8 or 9 points against Cuomo, the New York legend. So it was a big night for Democrats.
Mondami might have been the Republicans' only win, right? I mean, if you listen to a lot of Republicans, AOC runs the Democratic Party, which isn't the case. And now they'll have this socialist or far left winger to sort of point to as to say that this is what the Democrats are.
Yeah, but I think, Stephen, that's some of the analysis I've seen. But I think what we saw a little bit, and I've been saying this for 7 or 8 years now with the Democrats, that going after Trump is not enough. You have to talk to voters about what you're going to do. And they finally found a message in this cycle, and they talked about affordability. Life has just become too expensive for most or a lot of Americans. And they pounded on that rather than going after Trump constantly. And if the Republicans make the same mistake and use Mondami as the whipping boy and don't talk about issues that people care about, particularly right now, the number one issue is economy and affordability of life in general. I don't think they do well. I think both parties, both sides make the mistake of trying to demonize one person when people maybe don't like that person and they agree with you on that, but they really want you to talk about issues.
Yeah, and the president did say, he's blaming this blue wave on the shutdown. And when they surveyed people, exit polling found that Spanberger in Virginia won 61% of the vote with those who have a federal worker or federal contractor in their household, compared to 52% support from those who do not. Do you think that impacted the vote?
Yeah, I think that we've talked about this for weeks now, this is a broader impact on both sides of your job here is to run the government and make sure it's funded. And you're not doing your job. I think typically, and we saw this here during the Ronner administration, the chief executive tends to take the blame for the government shutdown. And I think it's probably 60-40 Republicans taking the blame for it versus Democrats. But I do think it played a role. But again, I still certainly in Northern Virginia, as you just mentioned, but I think it was more just the Democrats started talking about issues that matter.
And Prop 50 passed in California. Is that something that you think they're going to try and tackle here in Illinois?
No, that was really interesting because that started out polling horribly because high level, they enacted this law to make a nonpartisan redistricting commission to draw the legislative maps. It was really a big reform agenda that a lot of other states are trying to get done. So they rescinded that for this cycle so they could redraw the maps and make them partisan. So that pulled horribly when they first talked about it, but it ended up winning because the Republicans just didn't put up any opposition to it. They were supposed to spend $100 million fighting it, and they didn't, and it won. I didn't think there's any way that would have won 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah, I was surprised that it passed as well, but it did, and I know that former President Obama's been out there campaigning hard on behalf of Prop 50. I don't know if that's had impact. Does he still have sway?
Oh, of course he does. He's still very, very popular amongst Democrats and some even more moderate Democrats, and this has been his big issue. I know his former Attorney General Eric Holder is still working on this. We talked about it a couple months ago, Lisa. I'm working on this issue. There's people in this state working on this issue, Bill Daley and Ray LaHood, and this redistricting reform. I know it's boring and it's in the weeds politics, but it's something I think a lot of people are catching on to, that these gerrymandered districts are really starting to hurt the country overall because there's just no more contested elections. All the elections that matter, it's in the primary, and that's why you get the extremes on either side.
Supreme Court justices, a bit skeptical of Trump's tariff arguments. What's your insight into this?
Crazy. This one is a huge issue. I was just reading some of the transcripts because the argument was today. And Trump has imposed these massive tariffs based on some 1974 law that he's claiming it's an emergency, and he has emergency powers to do this, the immigrant invasion and fentanyl and blah, blah, blah. But the reality is the power to tax, and a tariff is a tax, is exclusively reserved in our Constitution to the Congress. So he made a big, huge step here, taking that power and imposing all these tariffs. I think the Supreme Court, 6-3 conservatives, a lot of Trump people on that court are going to say, you've exceeded your authority as president. That power to tax or tariff is reserved to Congress. You can't do that. So, but they were very skeptical today. Even Kavanaugh and some of the other justices, I didn't listen to the whole thing. I just read parts of the transcript. But if that happens and they reverse these tariffs, the money that's been collected, which I think is close to $700 billion now, the government's going to have to pay that back.
Pat, I was watching some of the arguments when they played the audio up, and it was used twice, the emergency order, I think once during the Nixon administration and once maybe during Lincoln. And the Neil Katyal, who was arguing against the Trump administration, said in both those cases, or maybe it was one of the justices, said in both of those cases, though, the Congress went back and approved them just because all views were that Congress had to approve them. So I think that was a pretty good argument on behalf of those suing the Trump administration.
If they rule with the Trump administration, and I'm not a constitutional law scholar, I'm not pretending to be, but I believe that would be one of the most significant rulings expanding the role of presidential powers and diminishing Congress and the other branches of government more than any we've seen in my lifetime.
My gosh, that's saying a lot. Thank you so much.
The impact. I mean, he's unilaterally imposing tariffs, taxes on American consumers. Look at what it's done to the soybean farmers and the farmers in the state.
I'm married to one. I know it's a struggle.
Struggle. I mean, we lost even the agreement they had last week. It's only bringing back half of what we had before. I mean, you're married to one. You know this better than me. This is a big issue. And the only time we've ever seen something like this before is when Congress enacted the Smoot-Hartley tariffs in the 30s, which a lot of people think extended the Depression.
And whenever I bring that up, you know, again, he left at 6 this morning. He will not be back till 8, 9, 10 tonight. This is how it's been for a month and a half. This is how it'll be for another 3-4 weeks until the second part of his job starts, and that's buying seed for next year. And he might not make any money this year. He might just be able to pay off his seed bill and his fertilizer bill. And anyone that I discuss outside of farming, you know, how this works, they go, well, those farmers voted for him. Absolutely zero sympathy and little understanding that the impact on farmers will be the impact on all of us because we live in a state whose number one export is soybeans.
Oh, I know. This is an issue that's going to percolate in the next 7 or 8 months, at least. And I think the voices of farmers are going to be heard. And I mean, I grew up downstate. I'm not tuned in it like you are. I mean, I've detasseled corn and walked beans. And you have to respect the importance that this agriculture has to this state.
Remember that? You'd wait on Main Street and the pickups would come and you'd jump in the back of the truck right out to the field.
God. It's 4 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd walk the beans. And walk. What are you doing this weekend? I'm walking the beans.
Hey, the tasseling was worse.
Yeah.
At least, and that wet corn cut in your face. Yeah, that was hard work. I said, that what you're going to do in your retirement, Steve? You're going to walk beans again, or what are you going to do?
So. You know, I haven't heard Smoot Hawley since Ferris Bueller's Day Off, I think.
Yeah, I need to get out more, but that is an important, I think, comparison. But the tariff thing to me as a conservative thinker is just been so detrimental long term to this country. It's just not what we're all about, and it's not what the presidency is supposed to be all about.
Thank you so much for joining us, Pat. Have a great day.
See you guys. Thanks.
That's Pat Brady. They're around here. We love to catch up with him once a week. Former chairman for the Illinois Republican Party and former federal and state prosecutor.